Isaiah chapter 55. Read verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal such truth to us. We thank you for the comfort that it brings. And Lord, in this room, there are probably people who are not saved. And I ask that you would touch every unsaved heart. I pray that your word would meet the need of that heart today. You'd draw them to yourself and that they would be saved. I pray for every child of God, some of them under heavy burdens and strains and weakness and fightings and fears. I ask, dear Lord, you'd comfort their hearts and draw them close to you. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A very favorite passage of a tremendously well-known passage. I've used it over and over and over again in my life in dealing with people, talking to people about their soul salvation. I don't know how many times it's been printed. I've printed it many times. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'd like to think just a little bit this morning about this verse. I hope I can bring something to your mind that's a blessing. I hope God will use it some way to touch you, make a change in your life, because the reason why I preach is to make changes in people's lives. I don't preach because I make a good living at this, never have made a good living at preaching. I don't preach because it's a very popular thing to do, because I had a lot more friends before I started preaching. I preach because I believe God changes people by His Word.
Amen.
And so I believe it's worth my time to put up with you and preach to you so that God will change you. How many here have been changed by the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And sometimes it came out of the mouth of somebody you didn't even like. But God Almighty used them. He took His Word and He touched your heart. I listened to Steve this morning and it was a blessing to me thinking about the greatness of God. And that was one of my thoughts, one of my first thoughts as I went over this verse today. So great minds running the same patterns, right, Steve? The greatness of God. How big is your God? Now you know my first impressions of a great big God was from this great big universe. You think about how big this universe is? Now that fascinates me. That staggers me. It's bigger than my mind can comprehend. To think that our sun is a minor star in the Milky Way, a minor galaxy in space. That there's stars out there that are bigger than our whole planetary system. That the distance between those things is light years. Light years and millions of light years. Isn't that big? Can you think about anything that big? When I get to getting that big, it's just like running numbers with just zeros and zeros and zeros and zeros and zeros after them, and I have no way to comprehend it. I have no way to understand it. Then when I think about this ball, this spaceship you and I are traveling on called Earth, and that it's just far enough from our sun, just far enough that we can live a comfortable life and a harmonious life that we have. That's a wonderful thing. If we were too close to the sun, we'd all burn up. If we were too far from the sun, we'd all freeze to death. And then there's something else about this planet. You know, 2/3 of the surface of this earth is covered with water. Water. They haven't really found it anywhere else. They've been hunting for it, trying to discover it. It's the water of life. 80% of your body weight is water. I'm a whole lot of water. 80% of your body weight is water. Now that fascinates me. But you know, as I look at the little things, I get fascinated at the bigness and greatness of God. When you think about how you live and how you go. I read the other day, maybe last month, this one doctor said that in your body, in my body, there are more bacteria, living things, than there are people on the face of the earth. You know, back when I was going to school, they had the atom. That was the smallest thing. Break it down to an atom. Well, boy, it wasn't long after that they started breaking the atom down. You know, protons, neutrons. They're breaking the protons and neutrons down. And they keep going deeper and deeper and smaller, and they're finding more and more. How big is your God? I don't know about you, but I have a holy respect for God. For any man to claim there is no God seems to me utter foolishness. Must seem that way to God, for he said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Said it twice, by the way. Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. For you not to believe in a God, you had to be educated out of it. You don't go find any primitive natives in any land, anywhere, that do not believe in a God or gods. People that are growing up on their own believe some great supermind, some great God created this earth. The only way you would come to a position of an atheist or a position of a person who did not believe in God, you had to be educated out of it by some people who thought they were smarter than God. How big is God? He's big enough to speak this world into existence. That's how big God is. The Bible says he spoke it into existence. The speaker's Christ. He's the creator. He's so great he created us. You know, I'm fascinated by the human body. I'm fascinated by my eyes. I'm fascinated by the hair on top of my head, by the way. I love my haircut. Wouldn't have it any other way. I'm fascinated by this body that God created that can live and go through so many things and then on another instance be so frail. One little thing go wrong in your brain. One little thing go wrong in your genes. One little thing go wrong in your body and then you're just so sick you may even die. Little bitty things. Things so small you can't see them with a microscope. Not even the newest microscopes. They're so small. They're so small that you can't even figure out. There's so many of them that they can't even cure it. Because they just, when they cure one, there's another one out there, and there's another one, and there's another one, and there's another one. How big is this world? How many different kinds of beetles are there? How many different kinds of birds are there? How many different kinds of insects are there? We got people who spend their lives cataloging these things, and they never get through. And they tell us we're killing some of them off we've never even found out about. This is a big thing. The greatness of God. But this verse says something about this great God. He can be found. Amen. Now, I know some people in some philosophies that I studied, and they think, well, there was a God. They're deist, at least. There is a God. But he created the world. He created the universe. He put us all down here while he was playing one day, and then he just sent it off rolling like you roll a marble and see how far it goes and forget it. Well, I might think that if I thought about how great this God is and why he would even want to mess with me. Why God cares about what you think. That's fascinating. But you notice what this verse said? I think there's one real important truth. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. That's fascinating. This God so big to speak this world and all of space and the universe and everything that's out there that we haven't even seen or heard about or imagined. This God that can go down to the very cell in your body and they can take that cell and clone another one just like you from one cell in your body. A God that could do all of that is close enough to be found. He's near. He's near. Paul was preaching God was near on Mars Hill. They began to laugh at him and give him a hard time. But he said, oh, he's right among you. He's so close you can reach out and touch him. You can just reach out by faith and you can touch God. That's how close he is. This great God has an interest in you. Now that is fascinating to me too. You know, we have 13 acres. We enjoy it. My wife enjoys it more than I do. She loves it. She's a tree hugger. She just, in fact, if it rains and she can't go out and hug an old cedar tree somewhere, she gets depressed. She's got to go out. I mean, she's got to go out and she's pulling branches here and pulling branches there. And I told you about the guy came out to put a TV little dish on my house and he heard the chainsaw running. And he said, what's that? I said, a chainsaw. He said, who's that running it? I said, my wife. He said, how do you get her to do that? I said, real men have wives who use chainsaws. She loves it out there. But you know, as I'm walking along and I look at that ant bed, I've got some beautiful ant beds. Don't stand in one of them because they'll get you, but I got some beautiful ants. But you know, I don't go down there and think, I wonder what that ant is thinking. If I step on him as I'm going by, will I really ruin his day? Why would God pay attention to you? Why in the world would God be interested in what you think? Any more than you would be interested in that roach in your kitchen. And that is a survivor, bless your heart. The roach is a survivor. God is interested in you. One of the greatest things I ever found out in my life is that God is interested in you. He made you in such a way that He could have fellowship with you. Amen. He could love you and you could love Him. That's a wonderful God. Now, this verse just fascinates me too in my mind as I think about what's there. Seek you the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He is near. Did you know that God can be found today and God is near today? In this Bible here, it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He's here. He's in this room. He walks up and down these aisles. He speaks to you through your own voice. You're not going to hear some distant, strange voice that's different. It'll be in your own mind. And the voice you hear will be your own. But sometimes the thoughts that come from that voice inside of you come directly from God. That's how He speaks to you. He touches your heart. He goes into your mind. He makes you think. He moves upon your emotions. God is interested in you. That's a promise of this book right here. Where this book is preached, God goes. Not that God isn't everywhere. He's everywhere at all times. But today, according to the promises in this book, God is here today. He's near today. He can be found today. Now, how do you find God? How do you find God? I know there are times in your life that somebody's been preaching the gospel or the word of God somehow, and some of this thought in your mind says, this is what you need. There's a little voice in your head says, this is the right way for you to go. This is what God wants for your life. This would bless you. This would do various things for you. Maybe you've been hearing the gospel and you know that you're lost. You never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're hearing the gospel and they're telling you can have eternal life. And you think, well, I really don't need that. But you do. And you know down in your heart you do. You know down in your heart there's an empty space there. And God's the one that only can fit there. And the only one that can fill that empty space. And the only one that can meet that need that you have in your life. God's the only one. Your work can't do it. Your pleasures can't do it. Whatever kind they may be, every single one of them will fail you sooner or later. You need God because God made you to fellowship with God. And no matter what you do to try to take something else to fulfill that need, whether it's sex or drugs or pleasure, entertainment or one thing, work or accomplishments or whatever it might be, it'll never fill the need. Nothing can bring you the happiness God can bring you. And by the way, talking about whether you're saved or lost, that's a real thing. In this room today, Every one of you in this room, everyone including me, you are on the road to heaven or on the road to hell. Right now. Not at the end of the day, not at the end of your life. Right now, you're on one road or the other. There are no people in this room that are in between, straddling the fence. You either have accepted Christ as your Savior and have been born again and are saved, or you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, are not born again, and you're lost. The only thing keeping you out of hell or heaven is your heart still beating. And how long do you have a guarantee of that? Ah, we're Americans. White males in America live to be 75 years old on an average. Do you realize to get that average, a whole lot of people had to die at 50 to get that average? They said, oh, there's a few that made 100. Saw this joke, these two old guys sitting in a wheelchair in a nursing home. One old boy said, if I hadn't kept myself in good shape, I'd have missed all of this. I love it. Go out there and work real hard, man. Keep yourself in good shape. Then you won't miss anything, see? The only thing that keeps you from meeting God face to face today is you're still in your body. Oh, you're a physical being, and that body is a marvel. But you're really a spiritual being, and you're more spiritual than you are physical. And the greater reality in your life is that you are a spiritual being made by God for fellowship with God for all eternity. And if you miss that, you miss the purpose of your whole existence. This great God made you to fellowship with. How do you find God? He's here. Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I don't know about you, but I'm meeting in the name of Jesus Christ today. There's more than two or three of us here. God is here. Now, inside this room also, there's probably 100, 200 television shows going on right now. Boom. There's probably a couple of hundred radio stations going on. Boom. Right in here. Right in here, going through all of these ways while there's police radio going back and forth. There's somebody's short wave calling somebody here. And it's right here. All you need is the receiver to pick it up. It's all here. You just don't see it. You just don't receive it. Just like the Holy Spirit's here and the devil's here. Maybe not Satan himself. We might not be big enough to bring down the big guns. But there's a devil or two. There's an evil spirit or two. You've seen the pictures of the little angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other shoulder. And one of them saying, serve God or do right. And the other one saying, don't, no, do the wrong. That's real. Every time the Spirit of God comes to you and says, this is what you ought to do, the devil also slips in and says, you don't really want that. Right. Who are you receiving today? Who are you listening to today? They're all in here. They're all in here. Depends on who you turn on to. Let's think about this a minute. How could you find God? He is here and He is near. He's here and He's near. That's what it says. I believe that. I believe when I've been in a service like this where the Word of God is preached by a man that's saved and we've got the Spirit of God within his heart and it is the Word of God that's being preached, that God will be there. If I miss touching God on that particular day, it's my fault. I didn't tune in to the right receiver. I didn't tune in to God. Is it possible that God could be here blessing somebody else and pass you by? It's very definitely possible. In fact, it's probable. While God is blessing someone, you ever been in a service and you're just bored to tears and the guy next to you gets saved? You're saying, oh boy, I wish he could get up and preach. I mean, I wish he'd get on with it. I wish he'd say this or I wish he hadn't have said that. And this guy next to you gets saved. Where were you? And where was God? Well, you were both there. You might not have been tuned in like you ought to have been tuned in, but you were both there. How would you find God? In this room today, how would you find God? You got any way you can search for Him? Have you got any ways you can find Him? I believe right here in the verse, there's four things tell you how to find God. Let's look at the verse. He said, seek. God says if you seek for Him, you'll find Him. That's another verse in the Bible, but there are quite a few verses like that. If you seek God, you'll find Him. It said, call. Call you upon Him while He's near. Reckon if you called upon God, He'd hear you. You reckon He's close enough that if you called upon God, you'd find Him? Well, there's a couple other things. He said, let the wicked forsake his way. You reckon if while you were seeking God and calling upon God, you repented? He said, I'm wrong. Forgive me, Lord, I'm wrong. Lord, I'm not going to walk the same way I walked before. You can change things. He says right here, let the wicked forsake his way. Wicked men can forsake their ways. I got a dear old friend that was an armed robber. Willie Cosby, you know him, three-fingered Willie. He spent time in the Arizona State Penitentiary. He's been a preacher of the gospel now for 35, 40 years. But that was a mean young sucker. He's not too sweet now. But he grew up tough. In and out of jail, in and out of reform school, in and out of prison. Well, I haven't heard of him stealing anything in 40 years. I haven't heard of him being put in jail in 40 years. You know what I've heard him doing? Passing out tracts, preaching the gospel, talking to people about Jesus Christ, trying to promote missions, trying to promote tracts, writing tracts. You can change. God can change you. But this very verse here implies you need to change. Let the wicked forsake his way. Hey, that could fit everyone in this room today. You're doing something you shouldn't be doing? Quit it. You know how to break a bad habit? Drop it. Now, it's easier said than done, but it can be done. All over this room, there are people that used to, but they don't anymore. There are people in here look like they belong to a gang. Boy, they get cleaned up, dressed up. One of our missionaries, he had a bunch of long hair one day, and I walked by and just hit his hair and said, cut your hair, you look like a girl. He cut his hair. I haven't seen long hair on him since. I didn't even remember it. He had to remind me I told him that. I didn't remember it. What happened to the change? I mean, somebody walks into this room and they look like they're a gang member. Look like they ought to take out their spray bottle and write gang things all over the walls. They get saved, they get changed, they get improved, and what happens? All of a sudden, they don't look that way anymore. They're not trying to stand out and look like that particular thing. You can change, you're supposed to change, God expects you to change, God wants you to change. The way I'm living, what I'm doing is a bad testimony and it hurts the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to quit. Make up your mind. You might get closer to God. Do you know you might come down here on your knees and say, God, forgive me of my lust. Or God, forgive me of my covetousness. Or God, forgive me of my selfishness. Or God, forgive me of my cussing or my drinking or my dirty jokes or my pornography. And you might even find God right there. He said, let the wicked forsake his way. There ought to be a change in your life. If you profess to be a Christian, then act like it. If you profess to be a Christian, won't you live like a Christian? You profess to love God. Why don't you get a little more like God? He said, seek. He said, call. He said, forsake. Notice another word. Return. He said, forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. How about your mind? You know what comes out of your mouth? What's in your mind? What's in your mind is what's in your heart. And many times you say, well, that's not really me. Oh yeah, it is. What's coming out of your mouth is you. Just as you are what you eat, just so you are what you say. So many times we give an excuse for ourselves. Oh, well, you know, my heart's really this, but I live over here. No. Let the unrighteous man change his thoughts. Can you change your thoughts? Of course you can. Can you rebuke your thinking? I've rebuked my thinking many times. I know it can be done. I know I can say to myself, I don't want to think that way anymore. I know I've started to think that way. I'm thinking that way right now, but I don't want to think that way anymore. And I rebuke it in my own mind. You say, is it easy? Not always. Sometimes it might be a fight you'll fight the rest of your life. But it's a fight worth fighting.
Amen.
Do you reckon if in your heart you came down and got on your face before God, seeking, calling, repenting of your ways and your thoughts, you might find Him? That's the way most people find Him. You know, that's the truth. That's how I found Him. I found Him when I repented. I found Him when I got on my face and began to ask God to forgive me. And miraculously, I found Him. Notice what He says. Let him return unto the Lord. Some of you are too proud. Maybe all of us are too proud. Maybe the biggest problem in our life, God hates pride. And maybe the reason we do the things we do and say the things we say and live the way we live is our own stupid pride. Maybe you need to come back to God and say, Lord, I've gotten out of the way. I'm not living the life I used to live. I don't love you like I used to love you. I don't serve you like I used to serve you. I don't pray like I used to pray. I don't read your word and love it like I used to read your word and love it. I don't preach like I used to preach. I don't teach like I used to teach. I don't care like I used to care. He said, return unto the Lord.
Amen.
Return unto the Lord. You know another thing about this great God and His greatness? He can always start over. He can always start over. I've started over I don't know how many times. And God will let you start over. You can start over today. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And what is the blessing that comes with this? He will have mercy upon him to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. I can remember the day of my salvation very clearly. Almost 21 years old, had enough religion, but I wasn't saved. And when I sought the Lord in the front bedroom of my trailer house, when I sought the Lord, when I called upon God, I said, God, I've heard. I believed. I've heard. I believed what I'd heard. I believed that if I, as a sinner, would call upon God, He'd hear me. And He did. And you know, when I began to repent, when I began to confess my sins to God and tell Him what a wicked person I was, because He knew that all along. But I had to admit it.
Amen.
See, some of you are very, very wicked, but you don't admit it. I had a next door neighbor in Blanket, Texas when I was going to college at Howard Payne. He didn't cuss, he didn't drink, he didn't smoke. He was the town constable. He believed anybody charged more than $1 an hour was a crook. He'd roof your house for you, he'd do plumbing, he'd do anything for $1 an hour. He was a good man. And I witnessed to him for over 11 months before he ever got saved. And one day when I'm dealing with him, he's so righteous, he's so good, he's so much better than anybody in the church. He looked down his nose at the deacons and the preachers. He looked down his nose at people who weren't as consistent as he was. And I told him, I said, you're the wickedest old man I know. Oh, it offended him. I said, you're the wickedest old man I know because you don't love Jesus. Oh yeah, you got some moral principles. And if anybody follows you, they'll follow you right straight to hell because you're a sinner just like all the rest. He stormed out of my house, forgot his hat, and had to come back to get it. Sure embarrassed to come back to get that hand. About a month later, he got saved. He sent me cards until he was 81 years old. After that, I never heard from him again. He said, still giving him a testimony, boy. Always called me boy. I don't think he knew my name. Boy. Still give him a testimony, boy. He got saved. When he recognized he was a sinner just like everybody else and he needed salvation like everybody else. Do you think you've lived a good enough life that God will not condemn you to hell? Do you really think that you've lived such a good life that when God puts you on the scales, there is no selfishness, there is no greed, there is no self-righteousness, there is no sin in your life. You've never sinned. Do you honestly think you can walk up to God and declare yourself righteous and He ought to allow you into heaven? You don't understand your own heart. I know better than that. We could just sit down with the Ten Commandments for about 5 minutes and I'll bet I'd find you a sinner. Well, let's go over to the New Testament. Let's get Jesus' evaluation of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. How do you measure up now? You're a sinner. You don't love God that much. You can't stand in God's presence. The only reason Jesus came to die upon the cross because there was no other person who could go to the cross for us. Nobody else good enough. There's only been one perfect man. And that was the God-man. No other. And He died on a cross to pay for your sins. If you're here today without Christ, I want you to understand, Jesus is still in the business of saving sinners. And if you're not a sinner, I don't have a message for you. If you're not a sinner, there's no hope for you in this Bible. I've read it many, many times. If you're not a sinner, we don't have a thing for you. But if you're a sinner, we've got hope.
Amen.
If you're a sinner, we have salvation. If you're a sinner, there's a way into heaven. If you're a sinner, there's cleansing for your sin. If you're a sinner, there's a change can come in your life. If you're a sinner and you can call on God and seek God and repent of your sins and your thoughts and ask God to forgive you and save you and change you, man, there's a wonderful world waiting for you.
Amen.
Are there any sinners in the place? I got a message for you. God will have mercy upon you in your sin. And God will abundantly pardon. Those of you that are saved right here and you had a wonderful experience of salvation, can you remember it? I remember mine. No matter what anybody else thought or what they saw, there was such a burden lifted from my heart and such a freedom and joy brought into it. I don't think my feet touched the ground for a couple of years. I was just that high. I was just that high. I wish I were still that high now, but I'm not. I had to come back down to the world and live with the rest of you guys. That's the sad part about it. But the truth of the matter is, salvation is such a freeing experience. Such a liberating experience. Return unto the Lord, and what will He do? He will have mercy. He will pardon. He will abundantly pardon. What an invitation. Christian friends, some of you just backslidden. You just plain backslidden. You're not where you were. You're not even close to what you were. And you need a revival in your heart. You need to return unto the Lord. You need God to have mercy upon you again. Some of you here today and you're lost. You may be a very good person. Maybe very nice. But you need a Savior. Because you have a sin problem that nobody can settle but the one Savior. You see, when you go to the courts of heaven, I want you to understand there's only one lawyer that's licensed to practice. Go down here to one of the courts, we've got hundreds of lawyers. They advertise on television, I'm the smart, tough lawyer. He's probably a wimp, but he wants you to think he's a smart, tough lawyer. And believe me, having the right lawyer makes a lot of difference. Look at O.J. Having the right lawyer is almost more important than being innocent. in our courts. You want the right lawyer. Well, let me tell you something that equals the courts of heaven. You got to have the right lawyer. You're going to stand for your case? Well, the lawyer has a fool for a client if you're going to stand for your own case. Did you know that in the courts of heaven, there is only one lawyer ever been authorized to practice? I'm sorry. You have to have Jesus on your side or you cannot win your case. Ah, but what a beautiful invitation. Jesus will take the side of anybody that is a sinner, recognizes they're a sinner, and ask him to.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful? I love what I do. I love preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got the greatest message the world has ever heard. I've got the greatest opportunity. I wouldn't trade it for anything I know, and I've been around a long time, and I've seen a lot of things. This is a beautiful story. This is an absolute great truth. This truth will change your life if you'll simply believe it. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. You can find God today. You can find peace today. If you'll seek him, call on him, repent of your sin. You'll find it. You'll find it. I'm going to sing number 249. If you're here and you're lost, I ask you to come and be saved. If you as a Christian are here and God's spoken to your heart, I ask you to come to this altar that's open and do the dealing that God wants you to deal with.